Hey, this is the Bachelor Masters coming off of Monday night's show, which, I hate to say it, but I think it's true, the worst episode of Bachelor since I have been watching the show. What do you think about that, EZR?
Maybe. Hard to say. What makes a bad episode? Boring or producer intervention?
Okay, it was boring.
Uh-huh.
The villain in this case was Sarah, and it's just not interesting.
Yeah, she was more like the bully victim, than the villain.
Okay, you're right. And then the villain was Victoria, but she's now friends with all of the girls because she cracked a few jokes.
It's a hard one in girl world. It's like a hierarchy.
Yeah.
It's like suddenly you're friends with everyone.
Yeah, I mean, what happened basically was that they found a new enemy to train their ire on, right? So, like, Victoria can now be friendly with everybody because they all share a common hatred of Sarah, which allows them to forget that they hated Victoria, like, one day ago.
Yeah. And as we said last week, you know, Victoria just doesn't make a good villain because she's just not believable as a villain. And then we find out that Serena, is that her name? Mm-hmm. Who went on the date? She's 22 years old.
She didn't look 22. She looks 32. Like, it's just her. Well, in a good way, like she looks very like she would, you know, be a CEO or something. Like she looks put together.
So, and then, you know, we get this long goodbye of Sarah, and then she finally leaves, and then the show's over. So, just boring, boring.
Well, what I didn't like about this episode, right, was that we were promised at the start of this, you know, we did get the donkey.
So stupid. I'm so sick of the cold opens.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone else.
I don't like how they do the flash forwards to things that will happen later in the episode periodically.
Yeah, that's what easier means.
Yeah. Like they do it at the beginning and then they do it again sometimes, like right before a commercial break or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's very, I'm sort of like, well, that's going to happen in half an hour and it's not even that dramatic. So why don't we just show it? I don't really get why that's going on. But we were promised on this episode that we were going to get two group dates and one one-on-one and then presumably a rose ceremony after that. What we got was one group date, one one-on-one, and no rose ceremony.
How were we promised that? I'm confused.
Well, Chris Harrison came in and told the women that at the beginning, after they showed the rose ceremony from last week that was interrupted by Sarah's fainting, when Chris comes in to do his, like, you know, weekly debrief with the women, I guess, he says, you know, there's going to be two group dates and one one-on-one. And he says it's going to be like a super romantic one-on-one, but they're all kind of similar in their vibes. So I don't know why he hyped that up, but they only had the one group date, and then the one-on-one was with Serena P, because there are two Serenas, but we didn't get to see the other group date yet. Presumably that happens next week.
Right, and all of the group dates, I mean, all the dates, no matter how romantic, are, like, right across the way, so you can just get out your hotel, go, you know, walk, presumably in the cold still, but, like, you know, across a courtyard, and then you're in the date.
Yeah.
I'll miss the days when you couldn't find them, you know, when they went to a giant theater somewhere, and so you couldn't just crash the date.
Crash it in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't get me started on the dates themselves. That whole reading of the erotic, I could not pay attention.
Well, this is how I think everyone...
I can't even tell you why that happened, ultimately, because I just... tuned it out.
Didn't everyone
know why it happened?
Yeah,
right? We all know.
Yeah, it says shameless self-promotion, book plug, asking Matt not to do it. Wait, let's like set the scene for how everyone felt watching that. That was Serena's reaction that I think summarized it better than anyone else could.
Well, people in Bachelor Nation have a short memory because a lot of people on Twitter were like, what? Chris Harrison wrote a book? I think it's five years ago, he announced the book on a after the final rose. He's like, hey, I have a book now.
They have an even shorter memory because this is like a carbon copy of that windmill date with Peter season.
Right.
And it was very similar.
And Chris Harrison was hawking his book all throughout the Bachelor Greatest of All Time seasons.
Yeah, it was right
they
behind
would show, like when they would do the, you know, Chris is at his desk at home talking stuff, his book would be directly behind his shoulder at all times. So he's been really trying to pump sales of A Perfect Letter. Is that what it's called?
Do not promote that. Of the bleep it out, Craig.
Hey, when we all get back to flying on airplanes, you're going to be in the airport at the overpriced bookstore.
I always love chop shopping there. I do. I love paying.
And you're going to see the book and you're going to buy it and you're going to read the whole thing on the airplane.
I would never have COVID denial.
Think of the weird books you've bought at those airport bookstores. It's just another
Chuck
one.
Chuck Palahniuk. I like buying like Newsweek or like Us magazine there. Those are my favorite.
I like to buy like a gossip mag or a fashion magazine is a good bet when you're there. See, I knew Chris Harrison had written this book because I'd watched some of those GOAT episodes and it was like really, really prominent. But I did not know that it was like erotica. I didn't know it had like sexy scenes in it. I thought it was like a, you know, chaste romance.
Did they get to you, Caitlin? How are you? You're like, I didn't quite know how good this is going to be.
I don't think it's good. I just didn't expect it to be like, oh, there's sex scenes in this book. I didn't know that's what this was. I thought it was like you know, when you have the like romance books where they never have sex, it's just like mildly implied maybe, but maybe not even that. I didn't know he was going to have actual scenes in it.
And he did not write this, first off.
His name is on it. You have to read the ghost notes and it'll tell you who the ghostwriter is.
Yeah. So whatever, you know, and even if he did, I'm sure it's not a hard thing to write. Who knows? It sounds like a collection. I don't want to be dragged into a promotion here.
All right. And especially talk about the book.
Well, especially because they double blinded tricked us. They're like, since Matt has no ideas, we're going to give him an idea. So they washed Matt of the, like, you know, grossness.
Responsibility.
Yeah. And then they put it on Chris to promote. Like, it was just such a, it was a double blind study. Like,
it's weird because when they've done stuff like this in the past, I feel like they haven't gone out of their way to say, like, the lead did not think of this and clearly had no idea this was coming. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when they did.
They're trying to mega sanitize him so that he is so palpable to anyone who has any doubts.
Well, they did it with
left.
Hannah Brown, too. She
No, Hannah was totally portrayed as, like, a sex master. You know, she had the pillow, the Jesus loves me, I have sex thing. This is a black man
Jesus loving sex woman. Yeah.
Yeah. This is them trying to make sure that he is so likable, even though that has nothing to do with likability. They're just trying to make sure he is extra super sanitized for anyone who still might be scared of a black bachelor.
Well, creating boring episodes like this isn't helping my likability of him. So they better come back strong.
I agree. It feels like they've. And they do this with, like, all of the leads, right? That they sort of sand down all of their edges to make them blandly acceptable. But I feel like they've gone extra hard on Matt because of the being the first Black Bachelor thing, that they want him to be so blandly palatable that they've removed, like, any personality that he might have had. So he just is, he's like a beige sweater as a person, you know? Like, he's just boring.
And he wears a beige sweater.
He loves wearing beige sweaters.
We talked about that on the last week's fashion roundup.
Yeah.
If you're new to the podcast, at the end of every Bachelor Masters episode, we do a fashion roundup. You don't want to miss it.
I do think we need to cover some of the extremely bad writing that people did for this date. I particularly wrote down what Kit read from her story when, so Ashley I is there. And she's going around to the contestants and they sort of, you know, tell her their ideas. And Kit reads out a segment And it says, the cool breeze of Pennsylvania fall seeped through the windowsill, and a shiver traveled up her naked spine. It was like, ooh, a cool breeze seeped through the windowsill? Huh? Yeah, also, yeah, huh? Definitely said it in Pennsylvania. It's sexy in Pennsylvania where you currently are. But yeah. I also laughed pretty hard at Matt's story because he goes first. And it begins with him saying, you know, she smells a scent that every woman loves, chocolate cake. And I was like,
see, this is all new to me because I tuned the whole thing out. So, wow, that's pretty funny.
Yeah, it made me laugh pretty hard that the chocolate cake was like a key opener. His is, of course, super bland and very PG rated. And it has most of the other ones are doing it explicitly. It's them and Matt scenario. And his is, it could be any two people. An unidentified
woman.
Yeah. Yes.
He didn't even know her name.
No, he does not cover that at all. Most of them, of course, are incredibly uncomfortable and embarrassing to witness. Rachel, you know, religious Rachel, who's pretty with the brown hair. She says she's, you know, she's so uncomfortable with this because she's just very private about this kind of stuff. But then when she does read her story, she does say the word groin, like flutters in her groin, but she sounds like she's having a really hard time saying the word groin. And it made me laugh. She was like, there are flutters in her. Oh, groin. You know? Like, whoa, she wrote it, but was still like, oh, I guess I gotta say it. And she also mispronounced the word writhe, which I just wanted to point out. But
so she wrote it, she didn't write it then?
Maybe she didn't. It might have been like a producer handed her something because she said she couldn't even, you know what I mean? Like, she was like, I can't do it. And they're like, here's a story.
What did she say? Like, what?
I can't even remember. I just remember the thing about her. It opens with her saying, like, she's feeling flutters in her groin. And something about writhing around. Rachel. But she says, like, writhing or something around. So she didn't. Oh. It's not a word she's heard said out loud, at least.
Is Rachel dildo girl?
No. Rachel is the one. See, Craig, she's the one who got the rose on the group date. Caitlin described her as having, you know, she's pretty. She has brown hair. She's like lighter skinned. She has, I mean, she's like brown hair, but she has very light skin for her hair color. And then I think blue or green eyes, but.
Yeah, I think lighter eyes. She is the one, well, there's several who are into religion, but she's one of the ones who is into religion and liked Matt's prayer. She cried at Matt's opening prayer, if you remember.
Oh, that's her? For example. Oh, that's her. I didn't even know that.
So which one's dildo girl?
Katie. I love Katie.
Katie and Rachel blend together in my head.
No way.
They don't look alike. And they don't look alike.
No. The words, put the word Rachel in your brain. Spell it out, R-A-C-H, and then put Katie on top of it. Don't they seem the same?
No.
No?
I think they do.
No. That's, they're totally...
Craig, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I don't know what you're even saying.
It makes sense to me.
I loved... Well, there's lots of things to love about Katie, but especially the way she was so good-spirited.
Wait. Back the podcast up.
Oh my god!
There's lots of things to love about Katie.
Craig,
yes,
I also love Katie and find that there's a lot to love. There,
you don't know who you're talking about right now. I think
no, he probably doesn't know which one she is.
Katie is dildo girl, and isn't she also the girl that like went and talked to Sarah to calm her down?
Yes.
See, I do know.
Well, then what's not to love about her? Okay, you know who you're talking about. What's not
she's
to love
not
about?
She's not an interesting character.
She is so interesting. And then, I'm glad we're there. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
First, she did a perfect. I mean, this should go in Bachelor canon. If anyone ever goes on The Bachelor, use these exact lines. A perfect give him back now.
Hey. Hi. So I wasn't sure if there was something like important since it was like, I don't know, our group date. So I don't know. Are you guys done? Can I have my time back?
Can I have of course. Can I bring him to you in like 5 minutes? I promise I'll give him to you in 5 minutes.
Maybe like two?
Perfect.
I mean, I just want to finish up and give you guys your time.
I'll be over here.
Yeah.
I thought that was so, well, I'm pausing the clip, but I thought that was so great to say.
Can you, like, literally bring him
no,
back?
No, like is like a way, I think I have to tell you this again, Craig, but literally. Like is a way to kneecap your sentences so you don't sound as harsh as if you say, can you give him back to me now? Because you're not on the date.
Back to me now,
yes.
Literally.
Yes, like. Exactly. EZR is right, Craig, and you're wrong in this situation. She is employing a specific way of phrasing and vocal tactics in order to come across.
I'm not even
as,
concerned.
She doesn't
about
want to be labeled as a bitch, right? That's what's happening here.
Yeah. And both of them, actually, Sarah was very cordial and correct, too. So that's a great way to say, you shouldn't be on this date unless it's something super important. If it is, then I can understand that. And what she's hinting at is, are you telling him you're leaving? Because that's the only excuse for you to come in here and do this right now. Then she steps off for like 2 seconds and she's right there, which I think is perfect because that's saying your time is counted. And it's weird because it looks like she was kind of on her phone. But she's just looking at her hands or something. So then she comes right back and she says,
sorry, I'm just checking back in, trying to get my time on my group date. So
I don't know what to say.
Just like what I told you earlier, just
awkward, but perfect
on our one-on-one.
Can you walk me out? Is that okay?
No, okay. I'll be right back.
So
just have my time back.
Yeah, that's perfect. She said, I'm looking for my time on my group date. Even the way she kind of like was rounding it out, I thought it was just so, I mean, that is the way to, she did not look like a lot of people who do that tend to be very embarrassing.
Did she end
they
up actually
themselves.
Getting any time with Matt?
Well, she waited there. I don't know. Caitlin, do you remember that?
Yeah. I don't know if he came back to her before they went. I guess he must have, because I think when he came back out to the wider group of women, like, Katie was also there. So either he did go back in there briefly or a producer told her to come out and sit on the couch with everybody else. But I loved that she hovered in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great because it was very much like, listen, if you're going to come in here and, like, you know, on a date that is not your date and take up even more time than you said you would take, I'm not going to make this comfortable for you. I'm going to make you feel awkward about it by standing right here as you,
yeah,
as you're trying to have your conversation. I was like, which makes total sense in this environment, right, where Sarah has come in there and directly interrupted Katie's conversation. I feel like it. Yeah, she definitely wants to be hovering there to say, like, you interrupted me. You don't get to just have, like, a half an hour long makeout session with him now.
All right.
And
so Katie did the right thing. Blah,
yeah,
blah,
but
blah.
I love she did it without embarrassing herself, which is such a hard tightrope.
Yeah, because sometimes it's not like she brought a dildo there on the first night or anything.
She did that so well. You know, she never made me feel uncomfortable with it. That she is so, like, okay, I guess the term is emotionally intelligent. She knows how to exactly, like, approach a situation perfectly every single time.
That's what every guy wants.
I don't care what every guy wants. I think she's super smart. Okay.
Well,
I'm kind of hesitant.
Fine, but I don't want to imply that guys don't want smart women, but she that seems very motherly.
Oh, Craig, well, we all know what society is like.
Yeah. I think she's, just from what I've seen, I think she is a mega catch for any man. Like, she is so, I don't know. I think
you just
women like that
easier,
push you.
You like at the end when she was like, I talked to Sarah and I just wanted to make sure that she wasn't being bullied out of here.
Why would I like that? I don't care about
because bullies. you like bully as a concept.
No, I don't. In fact,
you're
I kind of hate
bullying.
You're
talking about how bullying is the new what the millennials use for, like, their word. That's the line you can't cross.
You got me wrong, though. I am interested in how bullying is now completely different than when we were younger, and how bullying is now the new way to actually bully someone is to accuse someone of being a bully. But in this case, there was actual, like, 90s bullying, and then it was the wrong, you know, and then they succeeded. And I thought Sarah was one of the only ones who acted morally. She said, yes, you were wrong, but you shouldn't have been pushed there. Obviously, you, to Sarah, you were pushed to leave. Right. And I thought that was a great, you know, she's actually doing things correctly. She's not going with the crowd because that's what they all want, or they think she's wrong. And she's not, you know, she's not acting, she's not reacting. She's right. genuinely being herself, it feels like, or she's genuinely acting out of concern. So I'm kind of hesitant to take it here, but this reminds me of how unions never get started. And it especially kind of rings true with how, I don't know if you guys have ever heard this, but there's been subtle calls every once in a while to have a reality TV show union. Have you guys ever heard this? Like akin to SAG? Okay. So it's absolutely the producers putting on the constraints of time. There's no reason why the women should be blaming each other for why one woman comes in and right. takes up time. Knowing the rules, though, Sarah should know better than to let jealousy eat at her. But, you know, why was she doing it? Was she really planning on leaving? And then she ended, did end up leaving. So I was kind of having those thoughts throughout. and then in the end, Matt, I mean, not in the end, but halfway through, Matt James said something that was like, that I think translated to the women of Matt, you are rewarding bad behavior because every time she pouts, you run after her. And I think a lot of women are like, oh, so if I pout, you'll come and get me. You'll pay attention to me. And that's not a good
dynamic
you want to have.
Fail.
Hmm?
That's how unions fail.
Well, unions fail because you get out because of infighting forced right. by the top.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
I just think it's kind of one of these. How do you in that moment work it so that you can say, why can't we have more time? Like, why can't someone openly ask that question?
Right.
Why do you have to cut out all our time? Yes, maybe it's 2 a.m, but maybe, you know, as the lead, maybe the only power there is Matt saying, you know what, Sarah came in, so let's take that time and let's make it go longer. I don't care. You know, I'm okay with doing this. I don't have to listen to the production. I'm the lead.
Right. Yeah.
So it's, he's the only one who has power. And I think, okay, Craig, so this goes back to why you like a fresh new lead. I think I'm used to the having the old contestant.
Well, I'm rotation. Starting to doubt that because
yeah.
this episode was so bad and we're only on episode 3.
Yeah, I feel like they're helping him too much with too much information and he's too unsure of how a lead is supposed to act because he's never been on the other side of it. He can't tell any of the women, I've been there, you have to relax, you know? And so it's kind of a hard tightrope again. He's not really, he can't relate to them and it's not balanced and he's not sure of himself to ask for things right. it feels
yeah, yeah I think that makes perfect sense because he is rewarding Sarah's behavior throughout this episode, right? Like when she faints he spends extra time with her, when she interrupts the date he not only spends extra time with her but he makes out with her in front of Katie right? Like Katie's on that couch waiting for them to come back
that
and they go behind a little
great.
Like yeah and you hear their making out noises and then you know the women tell him that Sarah hasn't come out of her room for like 2 days or whatever it is and he goes up there and again makes out with her for a long period of time and spends all this time and I think like you have a really good point EZR, if he had been a contestant he would know what it felt like when a lead does that kind of thing, right? So he would know when somebody is, you know, blatantly asking for attention and then you give them all of the attention they want and even plus some, that it's just going to encourage everyone else to behave bad. It's going to make them all hate Sarah. Like he would have known that if he had been on the other side of it, but he doesn't have that experience.
Yeah, they're going to hate her or they're going to use or they're going to zero in on that fact that he can be manipulated that way and use it.
Yes, exactly. Like now they know if he likes you even a little bit, you can pull all sorts of things to get him to give you more time with him.
Yeah. Damn right. And do the women have a point? Like, did she come off as spoiled? They called her calculated, manipulative, and toxic. I made sure to write those down because I thought someone, you know, that issue that she's dealing with her dad back home, was she dealing with that or was she jealous and couldn't handle formula of the bachelor?
Because she says when she's talking to Katie, she says, you know, my father has weeks left, right? But then when they do when she's talking to the camera right after that, she says, well, it wasn't really about my dad. It was about,
I'm not in the headspace. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. So she basically answered the question right there. It's not about the dad.
Yeah, but it's weird because what I understand is that the dad has, there is no set amount of time he has left. There's just it's likely that he could go at any moment.
Right.
It's not exactly like he has weeks left.
What it seemed like is that he's been sick for long enough that he's at that stage now where, you know, when doctors say like they have 6 months or something, that he's probably past the 6 month thing, which means, you know, we don't really know. It could be any time. Or it could be another like year or something. You don't really know for sure. But yeah, I was really torn on this when thinking about Sarah because I liked her as a contestant for the first few episodes. It was like, she seems nice. They got along well, you know? And then when she, at the end of last week's episode, when the passing out thing happened, I think I initially assumed that it wasn't a manipulative thing, right? That it was simply a physical weakness of some sort, either, you know, she wasn't feeling great or food or lights or standing too long, et cetera, you know, all of those factors, which it very much could have been. But then you combine in all of the other things that she does this episode and the things that she says, and I start to be like, well, I have a lot of sympathy for her in terms of her dad's situation, but is she, like, is this all genuine or is this really manipulative? It is really hard to say. And then you sort of counter in this, like Craig, you just mentioned that she says to the camera, it's not just her dad, at least. It's also, you know, the jealousy, she's not in the right headspace, all that kind of stuff. And it feels very much like, well, that's exactly what you signed up for on this show. You knew that you'd be in a pool of 30-something women dating the same guy and that he would always be dating other women. And it sounded like what she was trying to get happen was she wanted him to pull a Claire, right? And just sort of say, like, you're my Dale. We end the show.
Right.
And it's like, that's not going to happen. The producers are not going to let him do that, even if he wanted to.
Well, I don't even think she was going to, she wanted, like, there are times when I can feel that, you know, she wants validation, but she didn't seem happy with the validation, not because it wasn't enough, but because she was realizing maybe she didn't genuinely like him enough to stick around.
Yeah, that's a good point too, especially put in the context of her sick dad situation, where every time you spend there is time you're not spending with your dad. So presumably you would want it to be like she's really in love with Matt and that's why she's staying, you know, because otherwise is it even worth it to do that? And yeah, the whole thing is very weird to me because I can't tell if she's genuine, if she's like a manipulative villain, if she's just confused about, like, it's very hard to say what's happening there. Yeah, and then all this other like gossip stuff coming out about how she was dating G-Eazy, you know, that white rapper.
Yeah,
an ugly white rapper.
Yeah, like that they have gone on at least two dates because there's like pictures, paparazzi photos of her and him together where she had been labeled as like a mystery brunette. And then
call me C-Eazy from now on?
No.
Please.
We're not doing that.
Hey, C-Eazy. That's C-Eazy, what you
yeah.
Sleazy.
You call me C-Eazy. Should we talk about Dale and Claire breaking up?
No. Oh, wait. I kind of don't care. But the thing, too, is that She was on TV. You know, she was a report, like one of these, not a real reporter. One of the ones who are like, here, we're in front of this fire. Why did it happen? What does it contextualize it? Nope. We're just in front of this fire. You know, she's one of those reporters, one of the Channel 6 Action News. Because she said it. They showed a clip.
She said, I'm not a real reporter. I just stand in front of fires.
She doesn't say that. Need evidence here. They showed a clip of her from like Action News 6 kind of style.
Yes, reporters go to the scene. That's a
common thing. Do you ever watch the evening news, Craig? It's a bunch of crap. It's a bunch of nothingness. It's just like, why is there, you know, there's no context. There's only, here's this isolated incident. What does it have to do with anything? Nothing. Why do we cover this one car chase and not the other ones?
No reason. Based on very little evidence.
What I'm saying is that if there's any evidence to go into the she's not genuine pile, to me, that's the number one piece of evidence. She likes to be on TV and she wants her career back. But yeah. I'm not saying that's what she's doing. I'm just saying that that to me is already like, oh, you know, she's one of these Action News reporters that are just basically a pretty face.
Yeah.
She's not trying to be what everyone always says, you know, the Barbara Walters. She's trying to be, here I am corresponding. Okay, bye. See you back to you in the studio. You know, nothing.
Hey, it's like, a job I would take in a second. It
seems you, a lot of fun. This is not that. That's not neither here nor there. This, the point is that it's not a journalist.
Can you hear the jackhammering in the background?
You want to cover it? Why? No, I can't.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't hear that.
There's like this little, well, not little, but medium-sized factory building I live in is surrounded by construction sites now.
Every time I try to give the news a chance, it really bothers me because they don't cover everything. They cover they want to. And it's always whoever, you know, it's a squeaky wheel thing that really bothers me. Yes, it is. You can be a good investigative journalist. You can do real things, but you choose not to because you're towing the line. There are very few very good, local news setups. I know of one, and I think there's one that won like a Peabody Award in Texas because they were getting to the bottom of things. Like there's one show here called SoCal Connected that I love. That's what you need to be doing if you want, you know, if you're actually a reporter. Uh-huh. So
I might have mentioned this years ago on the podcast, but when I lived in Iowa, there was a channel. It was like a local public channel. Like you got it on your cable, whether you wanted it or not. And all it did, it was the coolest thing ever. Maybe some people out there know what I'm talking about. It would rotate every half hour to a different local news somewhere in the world. And they didn't make any bones about it. No fuss. Like if they wanted to show the Croatian local news, they would show the Croatian local news with no subtitles or anything. It would just go from one to the other every half hour. Isn't that cool?
This is like an art piece. What does that have to do with anything? What the hell?
I was watching it. At one point, it switched to Nebraska, like small town Nebraska local news.
And isn't it the saddest thing you've ever seen?
There was no reporters. It was just the anchor woman. And they never cut away to anything. She was just reading the news for hours.
Yeah. I've seen
this.
They
probably didn't have the budget for
exactly
people. Yeah,
that's what's wrong. I've seen people literally read off iPads on local news and be like, look at the headline. Can't afford a paper. Look at this headline on my iPad into the camera. And I'm like, this is not news. We need to govern. Well, I guess, you know, government funded news. Local news is a treasure. And I feel like the budgets are squandered. There's so much wrong.
Wait, you mean like PBS or something?
Local. Like.
Government-funded local news?
It should be government-funded so that there's no skewing. But Spectrum
News is great. Countries.
I don't care. It actually works well here, too. Like, SoCal Connected is PBS, and it's all about the local. Yeah. It's our affiliate, And it's all about the local news that happens. And NPR, our local NPR station, does great reporting because it contextualizes. So yeah, there's two examples of government-funded news that's not skewed, that's not because some rich, you know, the news here, the Channel 4, the NBC affiliate, is like, oh, some rich guy doesn't like this blocking his view, so let's get the local camera crew out there. And then all of this whole neighborhood that makes, you know, less than $500K a year has an air quality issue. Let's never cover it. So, yeah, there's a lot of skewing. And I don't know how that's like. So you're saying that that's just as good as like other countries not doing it.
No, like, I'm thinking about like China Central Television, which is government funded.
But what's
I think that's a different situation. Like, I would say there is a lot of really good local reporting out there, but a lot of it is done in print journalism, not in TV journalism. Yeah.
But all the tiny newspapers are being bought off and killed. So are they, we are losing, especially smaller areas. We're losing local coverage. We're losing big, good journalists to wherever they end up. And so, yes, I think it's your responsibility if you want to be a journalist to cover things. I just want to
point this out again. You're basing this all on a 2-second clip that The Bachelor showed of Sarah.
Look her up. If I'm wrong, then I will say that. Okay,
I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, you're probably right, but it's just we pride ourselves here on Bachelor Masters of being an evidence-based podcast.
It is evidence. There was evidence on the show itself. She was a local correspondent.
All right.
I mean, I don't know much more. What do you need?
What if she does PBS and NPR on the side?
She doesn't. She doesn't.
Y'all, I am looking at her website right now. Look it up. She has her own website. It's sarahtrotmedia.com. And what it says on the front page is... Sarah Trott, podcast host, founder, and content creator. So she podcasts, apparently.
Oh, I think someone mentioned that on somewhere. Like, she doesn't have any episodes.
I'm going to go to that section and see what's in there right now. It says, okay, the title of it is From Here to Where. And the little blurb says it's a community of goal getters and dream chasers transitioning into our 20s. Lord. First job, scary bosses,
blah, blah,
blah, blah. It's young people trying to figure out their jobs is what it sounds like to me. I don't see.
Craig, there's your evidence.
I don't see any episodes on here yet. Just the description and stuff like that. She is planning to blog. Well, see, this makes me also doubt her motives in terms of that she set up this podcast. There's no episodes yet, but she has all the framework in here, and it makes me feel like that lends evidence to the thought that she went on this show specifically to try to launch this thing and then was basically like, I'm out, I gotta get out of here, time to co-host make Chris a storyline.
Said time and again, if you don't come on the show with some ulterior motive, there's something wrong with you.
And as I've argued with him, and I feel like corrected him, you need to be both, or else you'll
get figured out.
Not just that, but what is this anymore? What's the point anymore?
Well, I'm that way with just the whole group date thing in general. I'm so tired of this. All the girls sit around on a couch, and then they one by one go and steal him, and blah blah blah. They've got to come up with something else, because it's part of the reason I tuned out. It's like, okay, another group date where they're sitting around and waiting to talk to them.
Do you think But do you think a group would really, I mean, all we saw was Sarah's crying face for, you know, most of the episode. But then for a group of people in this day and age, in 2020, maybe in 1999, I'll be like, yeah, that's normal. But now to call someone calculated, manipulative, and toxic, there must be more that we're not seeing, because that's pretty rough.
Yeah, they were piling on her pretty pretty badly. And I was wondering the same thing. Like, they must know something we don't.
Victoria, I mean, she was having so much fun.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Victoria can do no wrong now with these girls.
But the rest of them seem pretty normal other than her. And honestly, Victoria feels like she's in a room full of beautiful women. And to take it back to Bachelor Masters history, Carly, Evan's ex, was the Victoria. The thing is, she wasn't played as a Victoria of her day. But if you go back to her season, I think she was with Chris Soules on Chris Soules' season. She was so in jealous of how beautiful the women were that she had to take them all down. But she wasn't played. She wasn't a villain. She was Victoria.
She was the narrator, basically.
Yeah, the villain told the story.
Hey, can you play the history drop? I want to hear Mark's sexy voice.
We heard it last week.
And now for some Bachelor franchise history here on Bachelor Masters.
Wait, what was that? Did you just drink out of a Coke?
Yeah, it just sounded like it went with it. Anyway.
What? Because he's eating popcorn and having a Coke or something?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like you're sitting back in your giant masterpiece theater chair and your cat is on your lap. okay. Villain stuff, right? Anyway, yeah. Forget where we were. All right.
I have one thing I wanted to point out that is very short. It really looks like Matt is a terrible kisser. Have you guys clocked this?
Well, he keeps kissing with his eyes open. That's what. Yeah. He leaves his eyes open
most of the time. And I noticed this on that group date when he's talking to Bree and then they kiss and they show like a close up of it. And it looks like his lips are completely surrounding both of her lips, right? Like, it's very weird looking. It's like he's eating her face a little bit. It made me feel uncomfortable, and like I immediately now look at his other kisses to be like, is he bad at this? Was that just a really bad moment, or is he a truly terrible kisser? So I guess keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Like JPJ's kisses that were like teeth and jaw.
Yeah, we're just like, ooh, that looks very weird, and like it wouldn't feel good if somebody was doing that to you. And that's the vibe I'm getting from Matt right now. But yeah, just something to pay attention to. And another thing to pay attention to, speaking of that, is I don't know if y'all remember, but I have clearly hated Kit since the moment she was announced as being on this season. She is, you know, my female Bennett, right?
But she's the daughter of Jessica, whatever her name is.
Cynthia Rowley, the designer. That's it. Yeah. Most of the clothes that Kit wears on the show are Cynthia Rowley dresses, and I have to say, I have not liked a single one of them, but we can talk more about that later. What I wanted to say about Kit is that I had early on said that I think she's a villain, and she is becoming a villain for sure.
Becoming the villain, yeah.
She is becoming the villain. I don't know if you noticed on that group date that she was skipping arm in arm with Victoria. They're best buds now.
Yeah.
So that's happening. But also, when they get to the part where all the women are really ganging up on Sarah, like, Kit is probably the meanest out of all of them.
If you stay here, your life is going to be miserable.
Yeah. All right. So I wrote this down. She said, I hope you have a strong connection with Matt, because if you stay here, your living situation is going to be horrible.
You didn't put enough vocal fry in there. Caleb.
No, but I can't imitate it like that. But yeah, then they show her talking to some of the other women after Sarah has left, and she's saying stuff like, I wanted to tell her that I never wanted to see her face or hear her voice ever again. And I was like, whoa, you're really overreacting what has actually happened, which is annoying to all the other women. But like, it's not the level that Kit is taking it to. And then MJ also kind of takes it there too. And Victoria's obviously always been there. But the level they take it to is very much more than, you know, what you did was disrespectful to us and annoying and a bad thing to do, to being like, you're a horrible person, I wish you were dead, is basically what they're doing.
Yeah.
But this is what we were saying, is that there was a time when that was acceptable. You know, the thing about these shows is that they capture all their cultural zeitgeist of the moment. That is not acceptable into today's society at all, unless it's warranted. So why would, especially a Zoomer like her, there's no way she would do that unless something was really blatant to her. And I know she's trying to get screen time, and, you know, it's kind of on all of them, right? They're all cannibals. Like, who can take down who in the nicest way possible? But that was too rough for a reason, maybe? You know, is Sarah as bad as they say she is? So
it's hard to tell. Kit has issued an apology, by the way, after this episode aired. Because, of course,
so
she
that's
did.
So, yeah.
But basically, all she said was that, you know, she didn't know Sarah's situation with her father's illness. And it's like, well, okay, yeah, but that still doesn't mean you needed to, like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, just because her dad is dying is not the only reason to not be really mean to her. You know, it's also that she's, like, a person, so.
Yeah, well, the way they're cutting Kit, if you're just watching it straight, is kind of what makes me mad sometimes, is that if she's a villain to us, or she is unlikable and there to promote herself, why are they giving her this good cut? And that's what bothered me most about Carly, because someone like Carly became who she is now. She's one of the Bachelor Nation, spokespeople, lovable person, and I think she's a villain. Like, I don't understand why some people are liked.
Right.
Just, they force them on us. And I feel like they might force Kit on us.
Well, look at Ashley.
Oh, they're forcing Kit on us because it's not just the Bachelor brand. Who I think, like, they also like her brand, and they like the fact that her mom is famous. I've been hearing it on some of the other podcasts I listen to as well, and the reason it comes up most often is because the people on the podcast are friends with her mom, so they will not say anything bad about Kit. Like, Kit doesn't even get mentioned in some of these things because they can't talk about her this week without saying something negative, because she's horrible in this episode.
See,
so instead, they just are like, no Kit at all, you know?
We're independent. We have no sponsors. We have no friends. So therefore, we can talk about Kit and everyone else all we want.
We have no friends.
We're government funded.
We have definitely tried to keep it that way. We do not make friends. We're not here to make friends, as is the line, right?
Right.
There
is a podcast.
Alone in a sea.
Not here to make friends.
Yeah. There's also here to make friends. You know, it's just we can't, like... And the thing is, too, you know, we've talked about this in our group text, but we were the first, before the whole let's virtue signal how great we are, we were the first podcast to ever mention, you know, like, specific racial things and incite authors that are very influential now, when it was uncomfortable for all the other podcasts and they didn't want to hear it. We got dogpiled lots of times. And I don't know, you know, and we've never been, no one's ever apologized to us that now toes the racial line that they need to.
Right.
Even recently. So it's just a little, you know, what can we do about it?
What can we do about it? Keep listening.
Nothing. I don't care. Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying that, you know, that. Is it worth it to call out those other podcasts? I don't think so. Or the accounts or however. All right.
Right.
Moving on.
So anything else on Kit? She wears a lot of lip gloss, I've noticed.
So does Sarah. She was like crying and her lips were so glossy.
You couldn't tell which was the tear and which was the lip gloss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of rough fashion.
Note to people listening to the podcast. There is a limit to the amount of lip gloss one can wear.
I didn't even know gloss was still a thing. I thought it was like, that's...
It's a thing.
Well, I think it's not in right now, though, Craig. Right, Caitlin?
I think it is in right
really?
Now.
Really?
Clearly it is.
Back. It's not a favorite of mine because I don't like... If you don't have either your hair tied back or super short hair...
Right.
If your hair like blows onto your face, it gets caught on your glossy lip. It is like so. I just hate that feeling so much that it's not a thing that I do if I'm wearing like makeup. I much prefer like a matte lipstick that's like one of those perma stay ones that won't come off unless you're like scrubbing it off later.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah. Well, how about we roll into the fashion roundup then?
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
Victoria needs eye makeup. For
Victoria
sure.
needs a lot.
Yeah, there's. She what is must the have deal? Some kind of eye infection or something, because one eye is darker than the other and looks a little like swollen on that side. And I feel like there's something, I don't know, like a sty, some sort of infection is happening there, maybe. Because, she has bags under both eyes, but one is darker and much more swollen and looks like something might be going on there. I did see a Twitter comment about how maybe she got pink eye because Marilyn farted on her pillow, which would be pretty funny, honestly.
You can give pink eye by farting on a pillow? Wow.
Yeah, it's
any kind of fecal matter.
Yeah.
Yes, I have a quick story I can tell you. Oh no! Pink eye.
Gross! Please
play the.
I know.
Music.
I'm saving that forever. Gross.
So I've only gotten pink eye once in my life, and it was four or five years ago. Now I was on vacation. And I was in Amsterdam and I was doing a solo vacation, right? And I'm walking around the city and I'm heading to dinner, maybe. I can't remember where I was going, but I'm wandering around the city and some sort of unidentifiable liquid was dumped on me from a window above.
Oh, no.
I don't know what it was. It didn't smell like anything particularly horrifying at the time. So I was like, ew, gross, but whatever. Then the next day I woke up and one eye was incredibly inflamed, and it's the only thing I can think of that could have probably done that. But I'm still in Amsterdam, and I'm like, how do I get eye fixed here? You know what I mean? I was like, I don't know how the system works here. So I go to like a pharmacy to ask about eye drops, and they're basically like, you can't get even
you get a prescription.
Yes, like you can't even get like lubricating eye drops over the counter there. Everything is prescription as far as like eye stuff, I guess. So they're like, you need to see a doctor to get a prescription for this. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be leaving Amsterdam that night to go to Copenhagen. And I'm like, I need to fix this thing ASAP. So what I ended up doing was going to, at the major airport in Amsterdam, Schiphol, they have a medical clinic inside the airport. So I went there, which is like a whole adventure in and of itself. But yeah, I had pink eye, which in Dutch is rood oog. And I can tell you that eye drops are oogle droopin. These are all things I learned from this experience. But it got worse in that they gave me like, it was like an eye ointment that you put in there, right? And it basically makes you blind for a period of time in the eye because the ointment is so thick, right? That you're just kind of like, you can't see out of the eye why that's going on.
Like us.
Yeah,
you gotta play the unpopular music, EZR.
That's only for you.
That's a Craig music. But so the end of the story is basically I'm in Copenhagen. I have this eye ointment that I have to put in like 3 times a day. So I can't really have fun doing my touristy looking at stuff kind of things because I'm like, I bought an eye patch to put over it so I could go outside and not be like feeling horrifying to other people, you know, with my like bleary, gloopy eye that's like pink and swollen. But the worst part about this was that I was an adjunct professor that semester and I was on vacation just after the semester had ended. So I needed to finish grading final papers, which I had been putting off because I'm a procrastinator. And they were due in about 2 days. And I was like, I finally just got to do these, which meant that I had to grade the series of papers. Like I had to read them and make comments on them with one eye because I had like the ointment and the eye patch over the other one. And it's the least enjoyable grading experience of my life as a teacher.
You know, whenever people throw stuff, when you live in a place where there's balconies, people tend to shout something. It's always the same shout in the same places.
I used to live in a tower downtown here, and I did that once where I put some water on the balcony and let it like fall off the side. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards I was like, oh my God, that was a real shitty thing to do. Cause yeah, I didn't think
you could have given somebody pink eye.
I could have. I didn't think that there's probably people walking on the sidewalk right below that just got rained on.
Well, so the thing is, but it was probably just regular water, right? But I mean, it tends to be in places where, you know, there's a stationary population. Now, you just living, you know, downtown here it's gone through a lot of changes. But when there's a, you know, like I've been to cities where everyone lives in balconied houses, right. And you say the same thing as you throw something over. So now it becomes one of those things where whenever you hear that, you stand where you are, you go on the street, and so you know that that's what's coming at you. So I can't believe that, like,
instead of
I learned that you learn that word
the balcony. You learn to avoid. You learn to go into the street.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, you do. You like learn to avoid it because you hear the word, and then it becomes, you know, then it kind of snowballs into other things. So then you start saying that word for other things, like watch out. Like that word means watch out in certain other communities, even though it's supposed to mean water coming at you. Just FYI for everybody, learn that word if you're going somewhere with balconies. Whatever that word is,
yeah,
place you go.
I'm guessing that I didn't hear anything in particular, but it's totally possible they could have shouted something and either, you know, there's just other street noise or it was in Dutch and I didn't know that word. So
yeah.
Anyway, just a warning to everyone that that is a way you can get pink eye, apparently. Yeah, which apparently I didn't know beforehand and would not have guessed, and it is still the only time I've gotten pink eye, but now I think about it often, you know.
I don't think I've ever gotten pink eye.
No, me neither. Nothing in my eye ever. Gross. So gross. I hate
little
eyeball
kids
things.
Get it frequently. I think it's more common for kids to get it, I guess, because they like, right. I don't know, rub touch their
they
butts
wipe
and then touch their eyes.
Butt,
yeah.
And then they don't wash their hands. Ugh, yeah, little kids are so gross. Ugh. I hate the way kids eat. I'm very, bathroom procedures are not followed. Little kids. Oh my God.
Wow.
As the mother of two small children.
Yes. Well, I am very stern about those two things. Like, you wash your hands. I don't care. And you use wipes. It's very gross. Speaking of gross, Matt James's turtleneck with like a 70s denim. What the hell? Is that cool right now? That,
I feel like
you were
talked about this last week.
No,
we?
Craig, you said a few episodes ago, you're like, would you go to someone's house with shag carpeting and right. mirror? I don't know what you said. It was like a 70s look that's so outdated, but this was it.
Yeah.
What is with that outfit?
Don't know. He went to the Gap and got a little carried away.
That was like couture Gap. That was
Old Navy.
No,
well,
this was
I think I can make sense of all of this, right? Matt loves his turtlenecks. Is it because he had a turtle growing up and he really loves turtles as seen by his turtle patterned bathing suit that he wore on the one-on-one?
Every Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan likes turtles. I thought that I'm surprised he didn't mention that show. I feel like that was just
maybe he did and it just was cut for some reason. But I thought it was very funny that this was on the date with Serena P, that her reaction was like, wow, what a big old nerd. And I was like, oh, I find that really endearing. I like that he's talking about how much he loves turtles.
I thought it was like a cute, like, a you know, oh, like she was teasing him playfully flirty.
Yeah, that's true.
I was in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I borrowed this guy's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And inadvertently, I accidentally bent the cover. And then, so when I gave it back to him, he flipped out on me. Because, you know, everything was worth money back then, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, this comic's going to be worth $1 million. And he just ruined it. But mm-hmm. I was blackballed from being able to borrow anything from anyone the rest of the year. Like, no, man, you were the one that ruined his cover.
Well,
but that doesn't deserve the music?
How did you fold it? Oh, because that's a sad story. This is your I'm too cool music.
That's a sad story.
ahead. That makes you look bad. The fashion sense, the 70s look. I mean, it's cold there, so you got to give them something, you know, that's
something. Yeah, and I think we've seen, so on the Claire / Tayshia season, a lot of the men were also very into turtlenecks. I think that turtlenecks have come back in a big way for men, particularly, that like women too, because there's a thing about wearing turtlenecks being like flattering to your bust line. I don't know if you've heard this, but that it's like, it also frames your face in a way, right? Because you have this fabric covering up your neck. It's like, oh, they're all face up there now or something. So it's like a thing you can do, but I think it's much more popular now. And Lauren, do you remember, Lauren is the Miami lawyer who got the group date rose last time. She was wearing,
she's wearing a turtleneck.
She's wearing a black turtleneck and a black beret. And I love a beret.
That was so... That was cute for the date because it was like a spoken word.
Yeah.
Like she looked like Judy from Doug, Doug's sister. Like she looked like she was trying to be a 90s disaffected beatnik or something.
Yeah, loved it. I thought it was a great look. Really into it. It was like very casual, but very, very cute, I thought.
If you say so. Well,
it was cute because of, especially she dressed up for the date. That is adorable. Like, you know, you wear, that's like if Sarah had worn one of those old tiny leather skull helmets with like goggles for the right, airplane date. Yeah.
I would have loved that.
Yeah. You, if anyone, I would bring, if I was going on The Bachelor, I would bring stuff like that because you know someone's going to go on those dates and borrow it out because someone needs to wear that, right? You have to do the classic look for it. Mm-hmm. The beret. It worked.
Should we readdress the flower dress that Victoria wore, which we apparently caused some controversy, EZR, because you came out as loving it. And still basically... That caused lots of people to freak out on you.
Yeah, whatever. I like what can you say about someone's taste? I have bad taste. Okay, fine. I wear a uniform. I wear like a basically uniform every day. Like I have either a black shirt or a shirt with like a graphic on it and black jeans and like, you know, variations of shoes, but basically the same kind of shoes.
Hey, you're talking to the guy who wears the same thing.
Exactly. You wear a uniform.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to wear that rose petal dress.
I wish I could wear that. Where'd you buy it?
Well, actually, I know that. Someone figured out that it's from Revolve.
Oh, is that the brand that Bachelor like pushes on us? Yeah,
they love that brand.
Oh, I loved it. Well, everyone hated it. It's not a good sign for that.
Well, any publicity is good publicity.
Is it? Not with clothes.
I mean, maybe. I would like to point out that one of the people who contacted me about EZR's opinion is a Bachelor Masters regular listener, Adam, who said that...
Wow.
Adam!
disagrees with EZR's opinion, obviously, but he also feels like EZR missed that there was a under boob cutout area, and he was offended that you could like the dress while missing a major component of its construction.
Anything that looks like wallpaper to me, I am going to immediately love. I don't care. It's a hard choice for, even if that's, it's the weirdest dress ever, if it's, or whatever outfit, if it looks wallpapery, I'm going to be like, I might get it.
I'm going to keep my eyes out someday on one of your birthdays. I can't promise when you're going to get a dress from me that I found special for you.
It does not have to be a dress. It can be legit wallpaper, and I will put up wallpaper.
All right.
I
can give you some wallpaper for
that print. Like, I love the, even especially big Victorian flowers or something like that. It is just where I go. It's just grandma's house here.
Right, like, next time I'm at the wallpaper store.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Adam, excuse me, you'll never wear the dress, so you don't have to look at it, but I thought it was a girl's opinion.
No,
I don't know him. at all, but I have tagged him in a Simpsons. Because like, I see his name all the time, so I'm like, I feel like I know him. Don't know anything about him. Don't know what he looks like.
That's why it's called social media.
No, no, you keep ascribing definitions that are not here, that are not sensical. That's not why it's called social media.
So I have a few other outfits I'd like to point out if we have time.
Yes.
I really like the outfits.
One thing we actually have is time.
Cool. I like the outfits on both Sarah and Matt during the breakup scene where she goes to his room.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she's wearing, she's wearing high-waisted black pants, like black jeans, I think.
They're distressed. Or like they're cut.
They've got like a little like knee distressed area thing going on. Mm-hmm. And she's wearing a sweater on top that it's brown with a white like horizontal stripe on it.
Mm-hmm. And it's thick knit.
Thick knit, and it's French tucked into her black jeans, and she's the sleeves on it are like they're kind of puffy, but then they end at a cuff. And I was like, oh, I like that sweater. I would wear this whole outfit that she was wearing. I like that a lot. And Matt is wearing.
It was cropped.
No, I thought it was tucked like, in a little.
Oh, okay, that's better because I was like, it's so cold, and then you have a cropped sweater that really makes more sense.
Yeah, it's like it's tucked in just the front. The French tuck thing is where you just tuck in like part of the front, so the back is untucked, and the sides are kind of untucked. It's just a little bit in the front. It's called a French tuck. Huh. Yeah, popularized by Tan France on Queer Eye.
his last name was France.
Yeah, his last name's France.
What's is the that, odds of that?
Yeah, is that a coincidence or is that really what it's called?
I don't know. I think it's literally just called a French tuck, and it's a thing like he does a lot, but he also recommends to people to do a lot with their clothes. So you just hear it a lot on the show. But what Matt is wearing is also a very like classic fall kind of look where it's a red and black, like buffalo flannel. Check flannel.
Yeah. I love that. That looks good on him too. Stick with that, Matt.
Yeah, that's a good, like, some of the stuff he wears, I'm like, Matt, why did you, like, the turtleneck with the weird jacket. I feel like the turtleneck with another jacket could work. That jacket ruined it. But this look, I'm like, oh, a casual flannel with some, like, jeans? That looks great on him. He should dress like that all the time.
You know, EZR knows this because she lives in L.A., but the French dip has nothing to do with France.
No.
Oh, yeah, I love a French dip.
It was invented here in L.A.
In L.A., yeah, by now, Craig, I'm going to be controversial. By Philippe's, not Kohl's, right?
Well, see, I honestly don't care which restaurant ultimately created it, but I'm a Kohl's guy, personally.
I love Kohl's for nighttime, but Philippe's is like a classic sit there and watch a Dodgers game. There's nothing more
comfortable than that. Yeah, but Kohl's, they actually give you the dip. At Philippe's, it's pre-dipped.
Yeah, I love
like that. No.
Ugh. And their mustard is so good. And Kohl's is like gentrified. Now, which bought you know?
Yeah, but the mustard's still good.
No, I like Kohl's too, but Philippe's is my home.
These are two restaurants that both claim to have invented the French dip.
But it was definitely Philippe's. I know that because I get really into like food history about certain things, and when I went, so I've still never been to LA, but I have been to other parts of California, and I ate a tri-tip French dip. In where was I?
There's definitely a Kohl's invention.
It was in Big Sur when I had that, and I was like, "This tri-tip is fin." Yeah. And then I looked it up because it was like, "Oh, that's like a California thing, I guess." And now I'm super into it.
Yeah.
Well, I've done this. I can honestly say I've done this more than once. I think I've done this twice, where somebody has come to LA, only has an afternoon to hang out, and we've gone to Philippe's and then hop the bus, go to Kohl's, so we can do both. Mm-hmm. In one afternoon.
Well, so that's hard.
That sounds great.
They're very filling.
Love that.
Well, you have to be very strategic. You can only get so much at the Philippe's, and then you can save room for Kohl's.
Definitely do Kohl's second because they have a great bar. Philippe's has a great part too, but in a way,
Philippe's is just like
more casual
beer in the refrigerator kind of thing, right?
No, they have taps. It's great. Can go to the side window. Yeah. Philippe's is very cute. Huh.
Have you ever been to the secret bar in the back of Kohl's?
Yes. Of course I have. Okay. I was there when they reopened it. And I was like, go to hell, you gentrifiers.
If you want a $25
but I went anyway.
Drink, go to the secret bar in the back of Kohl's.
All right. I mean, this is, I'm adding this all to my mental list for when I eventually actually visit LA, as opposed to just going to other parts of California or just going to LAX on connections to other places.
Save an afternoon and we'll do the French dip thing. It's a lot of fun.
You know what I think is a good tactic for this, hitting up two French dips in one afternoon, is, you know, maybe splitting a sandwich at each one of them, so you're not like too full for the second.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I think that's what Craig was getting at. But even doing that is still a lot of food in a way. Yeah. I mean, it's just like you get it's not a big sandwich. It's just a meatso, and then it's also the mustard. It's just heavy-ish, you know. It's just strong. Yeah. I love that horseradish.
Maybe you can take a long walk down there.
I'll meet you down there after the podcast. Easier.
We are going there.
We've been there together before.
That's right. Yeah. And then we went to the park.
Yeah.
To hang out. Not just me and Craig.
That was pre-COVID.
Yeah. I'm going down there. I'm getting a piece of pie too. The pie is delicious there. Philippe's.
Oh,
really?
Oh, I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
I got to eat something now. I'm super hungry.
Where's our Bachelor Masters foodie drop?
I know. We don't have one.
Well, it's not really a thing on the show. They never eat.
No, we've talked about it for when we did Paradise together, because they do actually eat on Paradise. No. But there was a lot of food you could talk about.
JPJ put that fake food in his mouth and like basically threw up like a fifth grader would.
No, not on the dates, but when they're hanging out like at the beach. They'll be eating like guacamole and chips or whatever. Yeah. So they do eat stuff there, and you see them eat it, which is different. Oh, I do want to point out, because I noticed this a ton during this episode. So, you know, Anna, the blonde Chicago woman.
No. Oh, the crazy face. They're like, ah! Yes, like her eyes.
That's
are cool.
What I was going to point
She's
out.
She's the one who says she loves caffeine.
Yes, she loves caffeine, and her faces are always wild. Yeah. Like, She's every scared. Time they flash to a face, it's like, like eyebrows going crazy, eyes full on bug, mouth doing some weird. And I'm like, does she know that this is what she does with her face? Or is this a totally like unconscious, she just shows, you know, she could be one of those people where she's thinking something and she just like automatically makes a weird face.
Yeah. Do weird faced people know that they make weird faces?
I don't know.
She made the kind of passive aggressive comment of like, hardest man to get alone in a room, like right to him. And I was like, dang, that's kind of like, you know, symbolic territory of, are you okay? Like, maybe you need to not be here. Like,
don't think she's doing okay in general, because was it last week or the week before? But they were doing a to camera thing about how she's waiting to get the rose at the ceremony, and she's basically going insane. Like, she's like, I'm making all sorts of faces at him to let him know how much I want the rose.
She
and
sure is. Dear.
And it's like, oh, girl, don't make those faces. Do not. Like, no. But yeah, between that and when she, the thing that she said to Sarah during the ganging up on time, was Sarah said something, you know, she's having a hard time or something along those lines. And Anna is like, you are having the easiest time in the world. You have so much time with Matt. And her face is wild the entire time she's saying it. So I have a feeling she's not doing great emotionally or mentally either.
Right. Yeah. Wait, what about, what fashion about her?
Oh, no, I just wanted to point out her face being this like very expressive face.
Yeah,
Oh, she's interesting fashion moment for Serena C., the other Serena, the one who didn't get the one-on-one date, which she was wearing during the rose ceremony at the beginning when they show the second half. I don't think I saw it last week that she was wearing, but I noticed it this time because they're sort of milling around while they wait for Sarah to come back. And Serena C was wearing a very interesting outfit. It was sort of like a white suit-like mini dress. Could have been a romper, didn't see closely enough. But you know, one of those things where it's like a double-breasted suit sort of jacket that's like a dress length. And the shoes are knee-high heeled boots that are all over glitter, like silver glitter.
Ah, ew. Gross.
And I was like, clock those boots. And then I looked up and was like, oh, she's also wearing like a suit jacket as a dress kind of thing. So
that's gross. I don't like any of this. See, Adam, you're wrong. We love you. I love you, Adam. You're wrong. This is the coolest dress. I can't help it. It's just, We do love Adam, though. Come on, guys, everybody. You guys, you both know him. I have no idea who he is.
Sorry. Yeah, Adam is like a frequent collaborator of mine on projects.
Whoa, so you really know him.
I really know him. We've worked together, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. Send okay. me your grandma's wallpaper. I will do like anything. Like, I love that stuff. Is it out of style or something? Because it was in style for a while. It's like boho chic, right? Is that what it's called? Boho, or is that just chic. A look? Or is it like cottagecore? Or is it like, mm-hmm. I'd love anything like that. I like
little
paper.
Bo Peep chic.
No, that is that. Those people don't know what they're talking about, first off, ever.
I think it could be related to cottagecore. I think it also could be related to, if you know when the Little Women, the Greta Gerwig Little Women remake came out, there was a fashion moment after that. Because the clothes that they, this puff sleeves in those mm-hmm. outfits.
I love
right?
puff sleeves.
And there
I
was
love
like
them.
A moment right after that came out that people were like, ooh, puff sleeve clothes. Should we be doing this? And so it could be related to that too.
I love puff sleeve too. See? Two things that I love. And drawstring things that you can like draw. It looked cool to me. And something, wait, you were going to say, oh, Greta Gerwig, I hate her. She's just
I loved the Little Women remake. It was,
oh, well,
it was
I'm not going to watch that. But just her, you know, the how she stole that Lady Bird thing from that other movie. And that movie, first off, that Lady Bird movie was like a whole lot of nothing. And I went to go
whole
see
lot
it
of
for no
nothing.
Reason. Yeah.
Oh, I liked Lady Bird.
Well, it was a stolen idea. It was a stolen script. Basically, because it stole from some other movie that was just like it, I guess. So everyone says. It was like,
no
real women have curves.
Well, yeah, I've never heard about that.
Well, look at it, because it's, of course, stolen from like a woman of color. It's all this stuff. Anyway, just I feel like Greta Gerwig is just like a, just your typical
well
white woman
should...
benefiting from affirmative action.
You should be happy that her Little Women has brought puff sleeves back into fashion, though.
But I don't care. I love it anyway. I'm one of those people that will be stuck. You know, I'm going to be a 50-year-old with bangs. Stuck. I don't care, but I don't mind.
It does make it easier to buy stuff, though. When it's, that's you know true. What I mean? Like, it'll be easier to find your puff sleeve dresses because it's a fashion moment versus, like, having to really hunt them down in, like, vintage stores and on Etsy or whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
All right.
Okay.
We're done, don't you think?
Yeah.
Chris, no, really, we down. Are done. We always do this. Like, we take a really bad episode and then we make a long podcast out of it. I give us credit for that.
Well, you don't want to talk about Clarendale in a predictable...
Nope.
Okay.
And
Chris and
Chris
Brie.
Chris and Brie. Yeah,
I saw that too. Huh. I didn't see that one
conveniently
coming as much.
Timed. Well, it came out right after the Clarendale thing, so they're probably just waiting for the proper time.
They're like, we got to break this news. Oh, a good time to drop.
Yeah.
So absolutely exactly. No couples from Listen to Your Heart. Not one.
No, not a single one has survived at all.
I hesitate to call them wastes of time if there's no couples, because that's not the point of the shows. I don't know why anyone thinks love is the point. It's obviously never been. But the fact that you can't even like cobbles everything was, remember how bad that show was? Remember the Polaroid they got at the end? Like, it just didn't think the producers even tried. So
I enjoyed a lot of Listen to Your Heart, even though it was bad. It was bad in that way that I like, you know what I mean?
Mm. Well, it just goes to show there's a lot of breakups. You know, if you think about it, just in general, people
wow.
break up a lot.
Deep. Yes.
I mean, yeah, and it's definitely been also during the pandemic, it's accelerated some people because either you're stuck with them all the time or you're stuck not together because you're quarantining in like separate places because of family or whatever else. So those kind of exacerbate various mm-hmm. issues.
The real question is, do you think they ever had sex?
Oh, Chris and Brie? I was like, Dylan,
yeah.
definitely did. I think we saw it on TV. But
no, Chris and Bree never. Oh, yeah, no, Claire and
Dale. Yeah, Claire and Dale most certainly did. But I don't think Chris and Bree did, because I think that they're saving it for the wedding and they didn't get married.
No, Bree was. And Bree ruled that, you know, Heavy, like, was the commander and chief of that relationship and decided everything. Like, she would not, I can't imagine her being like, okay, you know, is just, like, no. And they fizzled out after that. Like, are they still going to be a singing group?
They made their appearance ending last... their,
oh,
they're singing. They have put out two albums because they have a Christmas album.
Two albums?
Mm-hmm.
Dang. I mean, I've missed the days when that was a lot of work. Now it's just like, here you go, producer. Like, we sang 12 songs worth. All right, now I'm done.
Okay. Hey, follow us on social media. Leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app. I keep saying that, but no one ever leaves us a review on the Apple Podcast app. So I think you stop saying
it. Go to our Patreon. Just kidding.
We're ending the podcast. You can stop the podcast, let it finish. And if you're on an iPhone, you just go to the app. You go to the bottom of our page.
Let Dr. Phil guide them.
Yeah, exactly. Dr. Phil can walk you through it.
We have that Dr. Phil drop. I mean, not drop, ad.
Yeah, where he explains how a podcast works.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's hilarious. Leave us a review, please. Okay. Love you, Adam. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.